It's time for Yusuf on Security. I'm your host, Ibrahim Yusuf. Welcome back again. In today's show, we will look at intrusion analysis, spotting abnormal behavior within your environment. But before we get into that, and as usual, we will start with some security news that might be trending so far this week. It's all coming up next on Yusuf on Security. This is Yusuf on Security, episode 24, recorded Saturday, 17th of July, 2021. Intrusion analysis. On the security front, SonicWall warns of active attacks against VPN appliances. I think I touched that earlier, and this is related to CVE 2019-7481, and that is essentially allowing SonicWall to be used to target organization remotely. And this is related to Secure Mobile Access, SMA 100 series, and Secure Remote Access as SRA products, which are running unpatched and end-of-life 8.x VMware. I don't know why people would use something that is actually end-of-life, let alone being, you know, a bit out of date. I grant that might be an oversight, but actually sticking to something that has actually been end of life is really asking for trouble. And remember, the VPNs are still the predominant remote access to corporate environment, and these are essentially it's a critical perimeter control, as we know it and still is. So you need to really keep them secured, but also patched and current. And, you know, given that is the case, I don't know why you would actually leave it open to the wild. So, and of course, implementing, you know, the very tired adage of, you know, multi-factor authentication again, verifying the security and patching them with a norm, you know, minimum disruption is needed. You also need to add a lifecycle replacement of hardware as well as the end of life software that is going to hit you into your list. So that means you are going to have to identify and implement replacement early enough to avoid you really falling into this kind of scenario. You then obviously need to retire the old ones and dispose of gracefully, so that you can actually have a good old replacement. So this is really good, good reminder. And remember, these vulnerabilities have been known for months, and have been exploited also, unfortunately, for months. So you need to decommission these devices, or if possible, upgrade them to version 9, even better, version 10, because that is available. An upgrade will likely require valid, of course, subscriptions as well. So if you've been using this because you have no subscription, then obviously you're really playing with fire, and make sure that your mitigation of risk meets your business demands. And remember that many security devices will work only if you continue to pay subscriptions fees. So bear that in mind as well. And finally, Microsoft patch Tuesday includes fix for Print Nightmare. I touched this on last week's show. So on Tuesday, July 13th, Microsoft released fixes for nearly 120 security issues, including 13 that are rated critical. Four of the flaws are being actively exploited. And one of the critical flaws addressed in the update is the Print Nightmare Print Spooler vulnerability. And Microsoft fixed a pair of privilege escalation vulnerability, which has reportedly been exploited by a spyware known as Kandiru spyware. Now, this update includes fix for 4.0.2 flaw and the official patch of course, the Print Nightmare. So it's something that you really need to get that going. And even if this fix looked to restrict print driver installation to administrators only, as the CISA, which is the US agency suggested. So don't lose sight of the other update release as well, and include those into your maintenance. Just as the same way that the DarkSight ransomware gang disappeared, it's reported that Revil ransomware website went offline. So, and this is according to multiple researchers, websites related to this gang has actually been taken offline. It's not clear why the site have become unavailable. They have been unreachable since Tuesday, July 13th. And of course, ransomware gangs needs to be careful and attract just the right amount of attention and notoriety. Otherwise, they will be, facing the onslaught of the security researchers, but also governments. And of course, too little and fixing will not pay, as the actor isn't yet established as reliable. But if it's too much and law enforcement will take note and pressure ISPs or registrars to disconnect payment sites, even if the individual themselves are out of reach, then obviously they will of course disappear. So it's very possible that the Revil gang is just rebranding or selling assets to a different group, because this has been seen before. It's nothing new, unfortunately. I think they're just basically taking a step back to reemerge with a new with a new ugly herd again from a different corner of the globe. Performing a intrusion analysis, it's important to keep in mind the kill chain, and that's the cyber kill chain. The intrusion essentially will stand out from delivery onward. So that's delivery, exploitation, installation, command and control, and possibly the exfiltration. And most importantly, of course, things that will certainly trip the wire are the lateral movement, mostly. So when performing a incident response, it's clearly important to understand the behavior of the attacker so that you can quickly get to where the attacker is. And one of the things such as lateral movement is an essential ability for them to compromise the network and accomplish what they see it as their objective. And of course, understanding the universe of any type of lateral movement, tools, techniques that allows the responder to better find the what the attacker anticipates is always a win. And the first thing that really trips the wire is the when they are trying to do a credential harvesting. And that's to be priority number one. And of course, domain admin is their ultimate goal. There's a lot of detections in terms of event, which I will go through in a minute. But when it comes to really account, let's just double click on that. Nearly every single account or anything that you do in Windows is tied to an account. So it's very difficult for the attackers to hide that if they are actually moving around. So when they land on a machine, they essentially will have to use an account. If they are lucky enough to come in as a high privilege account and they've already had that in hand, then that is unfortunately good for them. But if it's not, then this is where they do a escalation of privilege. And so therefore, because everything is tied to an account in terms of Windows, it's difficult to move without one. And it's easy and relatively stealthy means to traverse the network using an account that actually is already created and exists on the network. So therefore, you know, the first hint here is the account limitations are essentially very rare, but unfortunately gives the upper hand to the bad guys. What is even worse is obviously what we call sleeper accounts that are created with high privilege, but they are not used, certainly. It's not the typical service account that we use day in and day out.
So the first thing the attackers will prioritize is collection of credentials, almost immediately when they land on an environment. And that is after the post-exploitation phase of the attack cycle that I've actually talked about earlier. Now, the attackers really have the level of access to move freely, right? So throughout the enterprise that a normal, typical admin would do. So they are somehow limited. And this is where things will actually stand out, and they might trip few wires and actually set alarms. So privilege escalation or the collection of additional or maybe more account that has high privilege is always required to be fully compromised the network. And of course, typical, if not many, lateral movement techniques that we normally see in the industry require a legitimate credentials to be used when you land on the environment and thereafter. And this is where things are, obviously, as I said a number of times so far, will trip a wire. So since early, every activity in Windows is essentially tied to an account. It gives some, set some alarms for us to actually be aware of in terms of log or SIEM collection of event with action tied to it, to give us a sort of a telltale sign of something nefarious might actually be going on. Now, assuming your enterprise, typical enterprise, centrally collects and manages logs and, of course, tracks account usage, etc., and then you actually have a chance to stand. You stand a chance to actually see what is going on. And, of course, Windows as well as Unix provide excellent logging of account activity. A common account vulnerability that is present in many enterprises is shared local admin account that has been utilized by multiple administrators for ease of use. And we know, of course, people will choose the path of least resistance, and therefore they will share account. And unfortunately, that's the downfall. So in that scenario, the compromise of one system essentially allows lateral movement to many others, right? So along with the possibility of probably collecting more credentials as they go along. So local account users is quite rare, with the possibility probably of local account usage is rare in the enterprise and can be easily monitored via event log, right? So, and when you actually combine this with other account monitoring solutions that might be out there, abuse can easily be identified. Things obviously that the bad guys will always navigate around is the C dollar share and admin share. These are shares and they cannot, use some remote management tools such as, schedule task, WMI, etc. Enterprise can certainly further reduce their attack service by creating unique password for every local admin account and denying network logon to these accounts as well. If we just have a look at the evolution of credentials attack mitigations, we can go as far as Windows 7, so which used the UAC, you remember that, user access control. It also had managed services account. And of course, Microsoft promoted a knowledge base, very well known, KB287, 1997. So that was Windows 7 days. And then Windows 8 brought local admin remote logon restrictions, protected process, restrictions of admin, domain protected user security group, which was really a leap forward, and the LSA cache cleanup, the local security authority cache cleanup. And of course, group managed services account is what Windows brought, Windows 8 brought, which ameliorated the situation that hammered the Windows 7 credential attack issues. And of course, we then moved on and we are at the Windows 10 era. And Windows 10 is well known to have the credential guard, but also the remote credential guard as well. And that is really a fantastic tool, which is a game changer technology that essentially isolates hashes and tickets using a security boundary, what it's called security boundary, to enforce machine virtualization. So it's almost the machine is using virtualization within it in order to have that mitigation in place. And of course, it has hard software and hardware requirement, and it will be some time before it's widely deployed. But we know Windows now, I mean, we're 2021, Windows 11 is previewed. For those who have access to the early Microsoft release. And that has actually further increased the security when it comes to credential guards as well. So, of course, I've mentioned device guard. It's a new improvement in terms of the application whitelisting that can lock down systems to prevent untrusted accounts as well. So that's really what Windows has brought, which is actually quite effective, and it appears to be challenging to tune on, and will likely only be found on limited numbers of very important system in the enterprise. So, you know, the device guard as well as the credential guard as well. And there are a number of compromised credentials, things such as hash, token, crash credentials, the LSA secret tickets, and of course the NTDS, which is basically the golden ticket for everything. So let's have a look at the hash. So this is the hashes that are the password for each user account in Windows is stored in multiple formats. LM or NT, for those of you who are familiar, hashes are the most well-known used. And those essentially should be able to be decrypted to provide plain text password prior to Windows 8.1. And how are they acquired and used? Well, hashes are available in LSAS, and you will see if you launch your typical Process Explorer, for example, in PS Tools, or maybe just the Task Manager, you will be able to see multiple LSAS process, and this can be extracted with admin privileges, and those essentially, if you've been really monitoring those, you should be able to pick those because it will set some alarms, and this is, in effect, to access the credentials. So once that is stamped, hashes can then be cracked or used immediately in what is called a pass-the-hash attack. And there are a lot of common tools that actually use. The most famous one is the Mimikat. There are others, FGDAMP, CheeseSecDAMP, Metasploit, etc. CredDAM is another, Ace Hash. You know, there are a few to actually be used against that technique. And credentials, of course, are available and vulnerable in multiple administrative action, such as when you log into a console, when you are launching something with Run As, and you right click that application or file that you want to launch with an administrator, and you elevate yourself from a typical user, because I think people have learned now you don't normally work on a typical Windows top administrator on a day-to-day basis. You basically launch, because that facility is there, you launch and you right-click and you say Run As, and then you basically authenticate that account to launch that process or executable. The other way, obviously, vulnerabilities, credentials that are vulnerable is the remote desktop, and we certainly have seen quite a lot of abuse on remote desktop over the internet so far this year, where people are actually exposing RDBs, remote desktop, over the internet. Another one is the netuse. That's the command line within the CMD that you actually can create users. PowerShell remoting is another. PSXSec, which is part of the process executable, or PS tools, remote schedule task that also utilizes the credentials essentially, and of course the any tool that is doing a schedule task or certainly if they're not using the system credentials, then they normally would prompt you to put a username and password. And for some reasons, and I do remember in the days of AV, I remember when the fight was, why do you need system privilege to basically do a scan? And there was a legitimate reason for that time, because AV needs to go a bit lower than the normal third-party applications, be it itself a third-party applications, and that was actually a sort of contentious issue. And I think that issue was resolved many years ago, of course, so there's no need for those tools to essentially use remote scheduled tasks with top administrator account. The other one is a run as a service, or maybe, you know, the remote registry that you normally can launch within a Windows as well. So how do you defend then credential attacks, abuse, when it comes to hashes? Well, prevent admin account compromise, essentially. So do as much as you can to really not to sprinkle administrative accounts everywhere. Make it unique for everyone, and stop remote interactive sessions with highly privileged accounts as well. Of course, you need to do a proper termination of remote desktops. We're not using all the system, we're just using Windows 10 now. So deploy remote credential guards to help you with that. And certainly, of course, everyone should have Windows 10 now, which brings you, as I said, the credential guard to make sure all the technology, all the techniques that has been used against Windows 8 and 7 are made obsolete. By utilizing that. So I think that will be the end of the session. We will certainly continue on part two with regard to intrusion analysis on the next session. With that, thank you very much. Take care.